Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Rich Campbell.
The D-line panel. Those three championship players were openly challenging Hicks to accept the responsibility for this 2019 to jump through its championship window, because all three of those guys know how fleeting success is. It's very dramatic, and you could feel the tension in the air, and Hicks just said, I accept all of your challenges. And you just realize at that point that so much is building behind this 2019 team, and there is a lot on them. And I just think if you're Akeem Hicks or you're Eddie Jackson, you're up on these panels, you would have to have a brain made of cement not to take away and bring this burden with you, bring this momentum from these other forces with you to Halas Hall in training camp and every week of the season, knowing what is at stake.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We're going to talk some NBA right here out of the gate as the opinions are flying in via Twitter. Some good stuff, some hot stuff coming off right now. We got to get to Joe Sheehan. Will talk baseball at 10. It's Joe Day. That means Sheehan at 10. Joe Madden with Lawrence at noon. Midday Midway at 10:40. Mark Deeks of Sky Sports NBA in London, a fantastic NBA voice, is going to be with us at 11. And there's some surprises along the way as well, as there always are. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or a sext to 67011, please do. If you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein underscore MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
That's on Nick Nurse last night.
Yep. Stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Do we have the video feed? Is he doing it through these cameras here?
There are cameras here.
I know that. I mean,
we're looking at them. They're right there.
I'm waving at the camera.
There's a green light on and everything.
Okay, the video feed is directed by Brian Gertsch at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Our producers are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the executioner in the back doing what he does.
Indeed.
Ray Diaz. It was a late end for Cubs-Rockies game last night. Weird Coorsy kind of game.
Oh, that was so Coorsy.
Very Coorsy.
That was so good. So weird to look at a Yu Darvish start, say, oh, that was pretty good. Don't throw that pitch to Nolan Arenado, two home runs, but it's an okay start. That is Coorsy, Coorsy, Coors.
Yeah, and tonight they get another shot at Peter Lambert, the guy who bedeviled them when...
Wait,
there's another Lambert. There's a brother. There's two Lamberts, right? But this Lambert, pretty damn good. So Jose Quintana will take the mound and see if he can continue the generally solid Cubs starting pitching. But we're mindful of what happened in the NBA last night, because with one apparent snap, and I say apparent because there's no confirmation that it is a torn Achilles tendon.
Not yet.
But it sure looked like when you don't have to be a doctor to actually see the slow-mo of Kevin Durant's Achilles tendon snapping and rolling up.
No, but you saw the slow-mo. I know it got texted around in the group text last night. I know it went around Twitter and everything. Can you, just before we get into the ramifications, the fact that this Kevin Durant injury affects everything in the NBA, and I mean everything this coming offseason, whether he should have played, whether he shouldn't have played, the forces pushing him to play and those holding him back. Can you remember an injury that went that quickly around? I know we live in this world now where everything's instant, but the moment it happened, that slow-mo was out, and everybody instantly knew that Kevin Durant had likely popped his Achilles and that the future of the NBA had been thrown into question.
Well, there have been all kinds of obvious injuries, but very few with somebody who, with an all-time great player on the precipice of free agency. And this is this, and you raise the question. You're ominously mentioning.
I'm just saying
that as he gets to age 32, we're not talking about a 24-year-old.
No, he will be on the door by the time this rehab. If he's got the popped Achilles, by the time, even if the rehab goes perfectly, and it's 10 months. He will be this close to turning 32. He'll be a 7-footer with a major Achilles pop. And I just wonder why everyone's looking at this situation saying, well, they'll hold cap space and the offers are still there and all this kind of stuff. I can understand it, but no GM is going to look twice. No GM is going to think hard about whether or not their situation is one that they can just assume Kevin Durant will be Kevin Durant again. I mean, these injuries have bit lesser players and affected their futures. Our guy, Brian Geltzeiler, Hoops Critic on Twitter, feels kind of the same way that I feel. He tweeted just a minute or two ago, this injury is career-altering to Durant. He will never likely be the same player, even if he's somewhat diminished. Then the max offer. Then you've got all these kinds of ripples in the water here. This is something so much larger than just Kevin Durant trying to attack this soft player legacy that he tried to do last night, which, by the way, I think he deserves his due for. Right or wrong, as far as the decision-making process go, he deserves his due for trying to get those points.
This segment is brought to you by Comcast Business. Every day, Comcast Business is helping businesses big and small go beyond the expected to do the extraordinary, because beyond a simple transaction, there's making a customer for life. Comcast Business, beyond fast. Take your business beyond at ComcastBusiness.com. After an update, we need to get to some sound. We need to get to both the plaintive and the defiantly inspirational.
Bob Myers.
It was Klay Thompson was the opposite of Bob Myers, but it was a very strange feeling. It was a victory, but a terrible, terrible loss. And there's also an opinion of one of our favorite NBA guys who's out there that is a strong one, a definitive opinion on what this means for the future. We're going to get to all of that after we get you updated.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team, and it was thorough, and it was experts and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors. And we felt good about the process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision.
What was interesting is that Bob Myers, who is the top basketball executive of the Golden State Warriors, that press conference happened after Steve Kerr had essentially thrown it upward to him.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr passed on that. They said, who was responsible for Kevin Durant being cleared to play? And he said, I'll let Bob handle that.
Yeah, I think that's likely because Kerr knew Bob was coming down to have his press conference. I don't think Kerr knew Bob was going to be as emotional as he was. And I can't help but think, if this makes me a bad guy, so be it. You can just put it on the list of things. But you hear a GM get that kind of emotional with all the background surrounding Kevin Durant heading up to this game last night, up to the one where he was from a lot of different places, whether it's well-heeled NBA writers, whether it's the dregs of the internet, his Instagram commenters or whatever, there was a vocal force that has called Kevin Durant soft since the moment he joined Golden State. That's just a fact.
Called himself because he joined Golden State.
Absolutely
saying
true.
That this is front running. This is ring shopping.
Yep.
Because he doesn't want to plant his flag somewhere and build a team around himself. And I always push back against that because of the forces in the NBA that changed drastically in the last 10 years.
We shoveled that same type of crap at LeBron when he joined the Heat, and it took us a while. I think it took a lot of people a little while to understand what the NBA was. You know, and what it takes to win a title now. So after having gone through that, after working through those symptoms and understanding what this league is now, you get to the Kevin Durant thing, and everybody shovels double the amount on this guy for having joined a team that's a super team and indestructible and going for 3 straight titles, all this stuff. And what came with it was a soft reputation. So he has to go out last night, or decided that he had to go out last night and try and prove that wrong. And I get, you know, you can get into whether or not it was the right or wrong decision, but it sounds, when you hear Bob Myers get that emotional about things, it sounds like guilt. It sounds like either that organization, we talked about it yesterday too, as these reports kind of swirled that inside the organization, there were people wondering, Kevin probably ought to get out there. Well, we'd like, it'd be easier if Kevin was out here trying to play a little bit. We think he can do it. Whether it's inside or outside, one way or the other, that seemed like an organization that might have not done right by their guy.
It's amazing in my Twitter timeline here. Consecutive tweets. One from Deadspin a minute ago. It's an article by Tom Lee that just says, who's to blame? The tweet directly underneath that is from is from Bernstein underscore MCK, and it is a Twitter poll. Who is to blame for Kevin Durant's injury?
Well, what did we put up as options on the Bernstein underscore MCK Twitter feed?
The options are Durant, trainers, front office slash organization. I assume trainers includes doctors and medical staff.
Yeah, I think probably.
And 60% right now with five votes in. The fourth option, no one to blame.
No one to blame.
And what Tom Lee writes is, engage in this exercise long enough, you'll find there's no bottom to the rabbit hole.
No.
It's entirely possible that someone or multiple someones do deserve to carry the blame, but will never be identified because we'll never truly know what their motivations were. And those actors' motivations may have been unknown even to themselves at the time decisions were being made. Beyond some revelation, the team medical staff grievously failed Durant in some way, either misdiagnosing his injury in the first place, pushing him too hard to come back, or misleading him when they told him that returning to action wouldn't put him at risk. No easy answers are going to present themselves.
Yeah, that's an important point that Tom Lee kind of makes on Deadspin there, that barring some sort of medical malpractice, finding the asserting blame is kind of a tough exercise here. Warriors over the Raptors last night by one. Did you know, by the way, Dan, that they won that first quarter, the Warriors did, by 6 points? They won the first quarter by 6 points. You know how many points they lost the fourth quarter by? Five.
Wow.
They won the game by one.
So Kevin Durant mattered that much in what he was doing in that
first quarter. 11 points in 12 minutes. Had a couple of threes. He looked good. That's the other thing about this. He was pregame dancing around.
Okay. I saw him switch defensively a couple times.
He had the dunk in warm-ups. He had Pascal Siakam, all kinds of turnaround. He forced him to a turnover and then swiped that layup in pseudo-transition. I mean, the Raptors were coming down from one end to the other, but Durant was kind of caught in between. So I wouldn't say that it wasn't like a chase down like LeBron, but it's an athletic play to make. It's an instinctual play to make. He kind of had himself going.
I want you to read that Brian Geltzeiler tweet.
Yeah, okay. So we'll read this one more time. This is from Hoops Critic. Brian Geltzeiler, we have him on quite often. Great guy to talk hoops with. And this is where I kind of feel about this as well. Nice to see Geltzeiler back me up a little bit. After seeing what happened with Durant last night, what Kawhi did last year listening to his body instead of the team's medical staff may have saved his career. Sure, that's conjecture. The injury is career-altering to Durant. He likely will never be the same player. I think that, for me, that's front of mind because there are ripples in this, of course, and obviously that will shape the NBA for potentially years to come. I mean, there's future involved here. When we get back, we're going to talk about some of those ripples and how they may wash up on the shores of some of these other NBA teams, but there's also some Klay Thompson audio from last night that I think is worth getting to as well, because as much as the Bob Meyer stuff was emotional and raw, Klay's was more of a stoic, I think some, but also very, very strong stuff.
I also want to put away an easy false equivalency that's occurring that has to do with Chicago basketball history, that it is too facile a leap that many people are making, and that needs to be shut down. We got to do that too.
Tons going on in the NBA. Don't go anywhere. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
They're all so upset about Kevin. You could hear it in those comments you just played. Steph Curry, when I played him what Bob Meyer said at the podium on my phone, just because he wanted to see it, he started crying and couldn't finish talking to me and had to go find Bob, and did find Bob and gave him a hug. I walked out of the building with Steve Kerr and Scott. I mean, he just kept saying to me, he's like, the doctors told us that he couldn't get more hurt by coming back, that he had cleared that hurdle. And he just kind of kept saying that over and over again. And I think that's the pain you see on someone like his face, Bob Meyer's face. They feel responsible for this situation, even though, of course, no human's responsible for an injury happening to someone else. They do feel like, but we thought this, and that's why we made that decision, and then this other thing happened. And you can see it's going to be a very long flight home for them.
Rachel Nichols, ESPN. Mm-hmm. That is a way of saying things. I guarantee you she knows more than she's saying. And that's a way
almost
you
always
can,
does.
Right. And I've been in a situation as a reporter where there are some things that you can say and some things that you can't. But as we read between the lines there, they're clearly internally, the basketball executives have to be questioning the advice that came from their doctors.
Regret. I mean, that's regret. That's straight up emotional regret. They threw their guy out there. He wanted to go. And, there's an aspect of this that is kind of inaccessible for you and me and listeners and everything. Unless you've been there, unless you've been the professional athlete with millions of dollars on the line and all this other stuff. Damian Woody, former NFL player, kind of tweeted this out, and I thought it summed up really well. What KD went through last night, unfortunately, is what a lot of pro athletes go through. When you're injured, you feel isolated, detached from the team. One of the worst feelings ever, feeling like you've let your brothers down and there's really nobody to save the player from himself. That is a large factor here. That shadow is big when it comes to diagnosing what happened, the decision-making process between the Warriors and Kevin Durant last night. And while discretion probably should have been the better part of valor here, while KD's people probably should have helped pull him away from a decision to go play, I mean, in terms of their long-term regard, in terms of their long-term decision-making, probably a better idea to not play. But that driving force, that matters. And it kind of shows you that KD, DeMarcus Cousins was talking about this, Klay Thompson was talking about this last night. He's just like every other human being with something to prove, an athlete with something to prove at the top of his game.
We have to shut down some retroactive false equivalency that is occurring right here for the number of Bulls fans and, more importantly, the Derrick Rose stands who are saying, well, what about the people that said Rose was soft because he didn't come back after his knee injury? Here's the thing. A year after he had surgery for a relatively routine injury with a completely understood best practice return timetable for elite athletes, he was scrimmaging at full speed for weeks. He was scrimmaging at full speed for weeks that became months and just didn't play in a game. Also, Rose wasn't criticized for being, quote-unquote, soft. He was criticized for being weird, because no one could understand how the two things could be true. That's the first part and the second part. The third is this. His return was literally the prescribed part of his rehab. That's what happens. The doctors would say, you are here, you get to here, now you are scrimmaging, now you return to game action. It is a known pattern. It is a known prognosis. It is known what you do and when you do it. It had already been gone on for decades with the repair of an ACL and cartilage tears, etc. And that, when it was clearly time to get back, no one ever could figure out why he didn't listen to the doctors and trainers who said, now it is time.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a different...
They're unrelated.
Yeah. There's going to be a different set of things to figure out when it comes to Kevin Durant. And it's, you know, it was a calf injury first. Does that affect the Achilles? Does it not? I mean, I doubt that's ever going to be something, well, probably not in short term, anything we figure out or anything that the Warriors release or anything that they really detail in terms of the medical staff and stuff. That's right. I mean, that's not going to be something that they want to litigate out in the public or determine out in public. Klay Thompson talked a little bit last night, too. You know, you heard the emotional Bob Myers, the GM. You heard Rachel Nichols when we were coming back kind of describing the scene after the game and how emotional Kevin Durant's teammates were. Klay Thompson, one of those, obviously. And I wouldn't say this is necessarily emotional, but it is a fairly honest assessment of what went on last night and what needs to happen still. I mean, the Warriors can, theoretically, still come back and do this thing. Here's Klay Thompson.
If anyone watched the last 3 years of basketball, you saw this man was the Finals MVP back-to-back. So all that, those talking heads who say we're better without him, that's just ludicrous. Like, that's crazy. This is the best player in the world. You could put him on the 30th best team in the league, and that team will make the playoffs. That's how talented he is. So we don't even pay any of that, no mind, because with him, we are really one of the greatest teams to ever play. Without him, we're a really good team, but you throw Kevin Durant out there, like I said before, one of the greatest ever. So we don't pay that any attention because that's just stupid. it's stupid because he's a warrior. You saw what he did tonight. He sacrificed his health for us, and we dearly miss him. I mean, it was very deflating to see him go out.
Sacrificed his health, and it's still every one of these comments or bits of information gets back to springing up all kinds of questions around it. What did he know he was sacrificing?
Yeah.
What risk did he think he was taking? That's critical to understand.
I mean, that's part of what Rachel Nichols has kind of been reporting, right? I mean, she's out there intimating that he was told, or the belief was, that he couldn't hurt it worse if he played.
Well, there's malpractice possibility here.
If that's true, then yeah.
If they were wrong, if this calf strain, and again, it depends on where it is on the calf. You could have a calf strain way up toward the crook of the knee. You can have a calf strain right at the insertion point of the Achilles. We don't know any of this information. We don't know if a calf strain could have been the beginning of an Achilles tear. Because, you know, the Achilles tendon is a weird tendon because it's so dense. And when it ruptures like that, picture the head of a mop.
Yeah,
because that's what either end looks like. It's not clean. It's all of these little tiny fibers.
Oh, is that right? It frays out at either end.
If you when an Achilles ruptures, and I've seen pictures of this before, it looks like a floor mop on either end, or like a jellyfish on either end. So there could be something that is visible. There could be something that's not visible. But if in fact Kevin Durant was advised by team orthopedists, to based on their imaging and everything they knew, that he wouldn't risk it further, and there was a tear in there that they should have seen, there could be medical malpractice here.
I mean, he practiced the other day. He was in the walk around, in the shoot around with them for a few. We reported this on the show yesterday morning that he had left the shoot around a little early for what was clearly maintenance. We didn't know that then, but it seems now that it was just kind of, you know, maintenance, and he got himself around. So he's practiced and played for what, like 20-something minutes, 25 minutes, something like that, over the last couple of days before going back to play in this one. And the other part of this is, as crazy as the injury is and as crazy as everything around it is, he looked like Kevin Durant.
Looked good.
He looked like he was going to make a massive impact. He did. I mean, he made a massive impact in that first quarter.
We also have no idea, did they give him a painkiller? What did they give him? A cortisone shot? Because if there's cortisone in there,
it stiffens things.
It makes things brittle and more likely to rupture.
How about this? Just the fact that he was out there for 12 of the first 14 minutes of the game when he had been off for this long, regardless of if he's winded or not at that moment in time, there's no way in hell he should be out there that much that early.
As far as we know. I mean, again...
Well, what do you mean? He was on the court.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, as far as shouldn't, it's all based on the medicals. Maybe he was completely
clear. The shouldn't can just go to the injury, right? I mean, he played that much and got hurt, so...
But just in terms of being cautious in general, regardless of if they think it'll actually hurt the injury more, just how about just the fact the guy hasn't played that long, so whether it's purely just stamina, whether he thinks he can stay out there or not, how about that first win, you just give him... Whatever it is, let's say half the first quarter, you give him more time off than you normally would in his normal rotation. I mean, they said they were going to play him shorter bursts before the game, and he played almost the entire first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that points as much as anything else to Kevin Durant and who's ever around him, kind of helping him or making his decisions with him. That's him trying to affect a legacy. That's him trying to affect a perception. And that's him, you know, like we read from Damian Woody on Twitter earlier, that's him trying to be the teammate that everyone wondered if he was ever going to be. You know, everyone wanted, except for those guys in that locker room. He's like, well, it's Kevin Durant and the Warriors, right? I mean, we've dealt with this for years now. And he tried to go out there and put that to bed.
You think he played because of legacy over? Because, I mean, there's reports from every national reporter that's down in, you know, in the bowels of the building.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear him from the locker room in every other game screaming just like any other fan. It's not like he's disengaged from this team. He wants that team to win. He wants to go out there just like anybody else that's hurt because he wants them to win. I honestly don't think it's near as much about legacy as much as everybody wants to make it out to be because it's a good storyline.
Interesting. I mean, it can be both, though, couldn't it? I mean, he can do both. Just because one helps the other, just because being a good teammate and wanting to win and being out there helps the other, doesn't necessarily mean that it can be one or the other.
I guess it's just one of those things where if you've heard any long-form interviews with him before, he cares about basketball more than anything. And just outside of, like, you know, that being a generic thing to throw out there, he lights up when you're talking about basketball. Being on the court is what he identifies himself with. So if he has the ability to be himself, to be, I'm Kevin Durant and I can help this team win, don't you think he's going to do that?
I mean, he did.
Yeah.
That's what he did last night.
That was Klay Thompson's point, that that's what players do at this level, and he's no different in that regard. I get it. We're Bernstein and McKnight. We are on 9 to noon on Sports Radio 670. The Score coming up. We've got baseball talk with Joe Sheehan of Sports Illustrated and Baseball Prospectus. We're going to be diving back into the NBA stuff a little bit later. We've got Mark Deeks of Sky Sports NBA who's going to be joining us at 11. A lot to come. We'll get baseball-y with it next on The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.